Yeah, a little, I mean, she had a little tray, and I've got one for you, just because Mother made it. Maybe you can use, maybe there's not any place, maybe I can't, you can use it. But anyway, she made Florence one. Florence had a glass bottom put in it, and she treasures that tray. She stores it in a million treasures. No. But Ruth, I think that is the general thing. I mean, I know it is. I'll never get over seeing Florence stand right there. My sister, stand right there. With that half ham.
Call
right now. Did you say Cookie's family's coming back over?
Yes, but we don't have to be tied down with Cookie's family.
No, no, but you just said they said something about they were going to bring food.
Late, yeah.
Our supper. I'll put a ham on. And, yeah. Well, I've got a few little things to do here. I'll leave this with my dishwasher. You call Florence. That's important.
Wasn't that cute? Fanny came. Would you have a piece of candy sent to you?
No, thank you.
Fanny came in and had her dessert.
Did she? She brought it and put it in the refrigerator. She was cute. She came down to fish. She said, "My mother." She said, "What are you doing down here?" And you just come right on back to the house. She said, "You're just going to be awfully tired." I said, "Pam, I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with me." "No," she said, "you're going to be very tired." And she said, "There will be something wrong. Now you just come back." And I said, "Now, Pam, I walk more than this every day at home, except it's up and down steps." And I said, "It's a lot more fun here out of doors." And I said, "I'm finding out how you cut hay, and I've never seen anybody cut hay before, and I'm enjoying it." But Mother, she said, "You look awful. I've never seen you look this awful." She said, "Your hair won't even curl." And she said, "I said, well, that doesn't make any difference. It'll curl back again one of these days." But she was so afraid that I was going to be so tired that I couldn't do it.
Well, you did get too hot.
Yeah, you need
sure
a, you know, that's the most common place over there, under that big tree.
We'll go over there.
But
I want to tell you, I was in here getting ready to start puttering around for lunch. And Dickie came in and he said, "Mother," he said, "Nick said you better come on out." And I said, "What for?" Well, he said, he said, "You ought to see this." I don't know what he thought I ought to see, so I went on out and he wanted me to see how you cut the hay. So he explained all the different parts and how it's connected and how the wheel goes at one speed and the motor goes at another speed, and then he kept stopping, you know, to clean it out so it would cut. And, you know, I said, "You're going to have to do this all the time." He said, "No, just the first row sometimes because it's wetter." And so he showed me how to pull it out, and then he stopped getting off himself to check, and until we finally noticed that one part of it just wasn't cutting at all, you know. And he got down and he and Dick looked at it more closely, and they noticed that one of the teeth was gone. But he was telling me all about how it works and how and then after we got all the way around and back, he said, "Why don't you walk back the other way now, the way we've come, and just sort of look as you go along and see if you can find that tooth along the ground, you know." So Pam and I walked back and looked for it. Where are you headed?
I have a sneaky notion that somebody ought to see. Okay, I'll go out and check on them. In a minute. No telling how many teeth.
By now.
When they're quiet, I wonder.
Are they knocked off? I guess.
Maybe they're waiting for their assistant to come return.
Yes. No telling.
He certainly is nice. Yeah.
Nick?
Mm-hmm.
He's married, isn't he?
He brought me a booking last night to read about Florida.
About Florida?
Mm-hmm. He said I'd be able to read it. When you take me on and read it, I'd read it before I left.
Hey, I can do this later. I'll call over there and ask Florence when she's. I guess she's going to have time. This is bad time, so.
all the time, but I didn't realize I could wear your shoes. That was a mistake, because I could have worn her.
Yeah.
It's a funny thing, you know, everybody, Francis and Marie and Faye and Mother and I all wear the same size shoes.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. And the only person in the family who ever buys any shoes is Francis.
Yeah.
And she wears them several times, and then she passes them on. So
but
I
Jane
bought
about
shoes.
That big, you know, so she can go get shoes for $2
yeah.
and a half or some
yeah.
such silly thing
yeah.
like that. And Francis is much longer and much more narrow than mine.
What do you run around with? You don't run around.
Mm-mm.
Well, while I think about all these people out there, your neighbors, say them on your age, they're all competent out there and hard working.
Yes, but see, they all have their husbands now, and so they're...
Well, I mean...
When I can do things, they can't do things, and... Yes, there are a lot of very fine people.
Yeah.
But see, for about 2 years, all I've done is either be at the hospital or be at home,
yeah.
taking care of Richard.
I mean, on
and
all.
And,
They ought to be competent. They
well, they are, but, you know, they do a lot of country clubbing and that kind of thing, which I never did do. You know, they play golf and they play bridge, and most of them do.
Almost all of them?
Almost every single one without an exception. So, I never did fit in with that, never did care to.
Yeah.
And of my close friends, none of them are doctors' wives. So that our hours were so different. You know, our hours were so different because their husbands were all either lawyers or bankers or investment brokers or something like that, and their hours were sort of 9 to 5, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And our hours were so different that Richard never really got to know the Pelham people. Because even on Sundays, he went into the hospital. And so we didn't get to know him even at church.
Yeah.
So about the only Pelham people he knew were the doctors from Memorial, who he knew already.
Well, you know, one of the things Cheryl says, and a man will never let you down, he has seen people on more favorable circumstances, probably more. Now, well, yeah, I used to say it was, you know, talk to people over the back fence, and it's, that's more favorable circumstances. But, that's just the manner of speaking. I don't know what, you know, it depends. It does depend partly on the circumstances. Now, I used to think the churches were really a first rate place, but from my experience with churches, it's about the worst place. I don't, it doesn't show people in favor of light at all. In my, you know, from what I, within my experience, it doesn't. And I don't know where you do. That's too much for me. You know, my most satisfactory contacts are with the students at Reedham's. There's nothing else even close to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're young, but some of them pretty good. And they don't have too much experience, and you know, they see things in their own way.
You know, in our philosophy class, she may have been a little bit younger than I, but not that much, I don't think. Maybe she was about 45, but she was a Jewish person. Married and she taught school and had children. And she was so well versed in all these different subjects.
Yeah.
And so I said to her one day that I just would give anything to have the background in these subjects that she had. And she said, well, she said, that's because I'm Jewish. And she said, in Jewish families, she said, this is what we do. The dinner table and after dinner. She said, we discuss these things. We read these things. We talk about them. So she said, it's just like bread and water to me. And she said, you don't do this in, you know, in your homes.
Yeah.
There are
staff would bring up, she always knew, you know, she could discuss it. At least know enough about it to ask intelligent questions.
Well, there they go. They don't look like there's anything wrong with it.
I'll put my boots on. Rock in there.
Yeah.